Yeehaw! Larkin Rose here, and I'm now getting an opportunity to do something I actually rarely get a chance to do. I debate with statists kind of constantly on Facebook and in other settings. Often it ends up being a conversation where there's an attempt at a back and forth exchange with some individual, and then there's noise coming from other people, and then the topic changes every 8 seconds, and it becomes a giant jumbled mess. Well, Hody Johns was nice enough to volunteer to be interrogated by me. He is a self-described minarchist. Here he is. And if the discussion today seems a little bit one-sided, that's sort of on purpose, because the whole point is I don't usually get a chance to just one-on-one, clearly, civilly, logically walk through a series of questions. With somebody who believes in government of whatever size and whatever flavor, to demonstrate my that it is impossible to believe in government. It is impossible to be any kind of statist, including minarchist, without being self-contradictory. So I don't just mean being contradictory to what I believe, I mean being contradictory to what they believe. And so, again, Hody graciously agreed to let me interrogate him. And so we might as well just leap right into it. Now, first of all, just to have some starting point of where the heck we are, how would you like define minarchism or sort of your position in general? Like a brief version, it doesn't have to be very detailed.
Sure. I would just say having a minimal amount of government as possible, and that the government that you have is able to be controlled, able to be voluntarily agreed on and personally enforced, as opposed to one that is federally enforced or agreed upon by other people without your consent.
Okay, now let's leap right into the specifics. I do want to keep the specifics, so instead of talking about sort of vague terminologies and concepts, start with the premise that you have your ideal government. For whatever reason, either you get to be emperor or everybody agrees with you and you get exactly the government that you wanted. And I'm going to ask you questions about how that thing functions.
Yeah.
For starters, does it coercively tax anybody?
No.
Okay. And how does it receive its funding?
Voluntarily.
Okay, as in from donations or from like exchange for services or what?
Sure. So that's kind of where we get down to the nitty-gritty of this. Now, if we're talking about my government personally, I believe in multiple governments. I don't believe in a single federal umbrella, one size fits all. I believe in a, that's why it's part of it's got to be contractual. That's why you have to say, well, I volunteer to this and somebody else can volunteer for something else. And we shouldn't be able to restrict those rights to say you have to be a part of this government, or we'll kill you or something. You need to be able to free to leave. That's one of the big reasons why we're all open borders, right? So that you're able to choose what you want to do, and where you want to go, and what your leadership looks like. So for me personally, as far as funding that government, it should be completely voluntary. There may be a contract drawn up, but everyone in it agrees, and you can't force anyone to not agree, or they can just voluntarily not be a part of your government.
Now, is there anything that, let's say I'm in the neighborhood and this government comes into being, however, and I don't want to buy any of its services and I don't view it as legitimate or useful or whatever. I just want to have nothing to do with it. Does anything bad happen to me if I just want to have nothing to do with it and just keep living my life as if it wasn't there?
So by and large, no. But let's go over some of the specifics real quick, because that government that I've talked about that's voluntary, that doesn't mean that there's no outside forces magically. Some people might hear what I'm saying and say, "Well, that sounds like a lot of the original 13 colonies," and that's possible. It's different in many significant ways, including taxation and including the fact that boundaries are physical and geological, as opposed to getting into it by contract. So the issue that I would have is, I would say, if you're, for example, let's say you're a pedophile and you take one of the kids that's under our contract and under our protection, and our government has said that we still are able to develop policies about foreign policy. Right. And so we say, if somebody abducts one of our citizens and rapes them, that we can invade their territory and get that child back, and that person can be punished or killed or whatever it is. The contract, again, is agreed upon by the people who wish to be a part of it. So if you're part of it and you're donating to that cause, go ahead.
This is wandering pretty far off my question, because not being a kidnapping psychopath, it's just, if I'm living my life and this government comes to be and I don't want to have anything to do with it, does it make me have anything to do with it?
Sure. So long as you don't do anything weird homesteading, or if you don't rape anybody, then no, you will not be interfered with.
Okay. Wait, what was the weird homesteading? What is...
Like, you build, you've talked about it before, where you like build your home around somebody else so that they can't physically leave.
Oh, okay. Like using it to trap somebody. Okay.
Right. Or cut off water or something. Yeah.
So we have this government that's your ideal, that I didn't contract with and don't need any services for. Is there anything it can do that I don't have the right to just hire somebody else to do, whether by contract, whether calling them government, or just paying somebody to do protection or plumbing or whatever? Like, does it have a monopoly? Can it stop me and anybody else from doing anything that it does?
Correct. And that's something that's important to understand about minarchists, as well that we accept governance, we don't accept involuntary governance. You're free to make your own form of governance. You're free to your own rules, essentially, whether it's within your house or within your group of people that you've voluntarily chosen. You can form your own form of governance. Now, that's not to say that what you do won't conflict, but similar to what you said, if you aren't interfering with us and we aren't interfering with you, then everything's okay.
Okay. Then if you now... Since in this hypothetical, I didn't agree to anything, I have no contract with them, I didn't consent to anything, do they have a territory or a jurisdiction? Basically, do they have it at all, unless, you know, on the individual property or people who agree to some, you know, arrangement with them?
No. So I believe that people are entitled to their own personal properties. You can voluntarily, if you would choose, be part of like some type of collective. For example, if you want to be a part of like try to make some type of commune, and you say, well, everybody here, and it has to be 100%. So I don't want to get stuck on this. But if 100% of you say, we have these properties, we already have them, you can't like take them over, co-op somebody else's property. But if we have these properties, we decide to stick next to each other, and we're going to take the fruits of that and put it in and share it. If it's 100% agreed upon by all of those individuals, then yes, they can do that. But you're also free to do that as well with whoever you would contract with.
Okay, so it's actual consensus and not democracy, which is good, as in like it's all the way voluntary with all the individuals.
Correct. So can I give one stipulation to that?
Sure.
Just that if you choose to establish something and say, this, you sign this contract and I will abide by whatever the vote is, then you're held also to that contract. Now, you're still able to voluntarily leave if the vote doesn't go your way. But if you establish a type of governance that says, I am okay with problems being decided by a vote or by a representative, and here's how this works, as long as you've consented to that, then you can be a part of something like that. So I don't want to make this sound necessarily perfect, but at least you're in control and you knew it was a voting type of democracy getting into it. You're also free to not be a part of a democracy.
Right. And that would be true of any contract. Like, you agreed yourself into something, now you're stuck with it because you agreed. Okay. So it doesn't now, to jump to one of the most important things, can this government thing, does it have any rights that I don't have?
So this is one of the criticals. And I think that this is something that's misstated a lot. And again, it comes back to that pedophile thing. Technically, what's it? Thomas Hobbes, and you talked about this with Jan when you did your debate with him, And I was a little bit unsatisfied with his kind of glazing over what Thomas Hobbes said, because he said, well, anarchy freaked him out so much that he would have accepted any form of statism. I'm a huge fan of the Leviathan, as well as a fan of Thomas Hobbes, because he's somebody that said, and he did say, and it's true, that anarchy, the lives are solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. However, he also said the exact same thing about an extreme amount of government. Now, he didn't, even if you read his exact words, doesn't necessarily condone some type of democratic or even limited government or something that forces people to do certain things other than not interfere with each other. So he specifically says, it followeth that in such a condition, every man has a right to everything, even to one another's body. And therefore, as long as natural right of every man to everything endureth, there can be no security to any man of living out of the time which nature ordinarily allow men to live. He goes on. And I will finish this question. Therefore, before the names just and unjust can have place, there must be some coercive power to compel men equally to the performance of their covenants. Now, I know you heard coercive, and maybe that's your trigger word, but the performance of their covenants, so their agreements, to make good that propriety, which by mutual contract men acquire in recompense of the universal right they abandon. So actually, Hobbes is advocating a government that enforces this contract. So it's hard because there's a disagreement on what natural rights are. You and I would probably agree mostly on life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, personal property, things like that. But there's not a consensus on that. And I think that I don't want those people having a different consensus. For example, most Americans think they have a natural right to something like education or healthcare. I don't want their you and I would both understand that means you're able to conscript somebody. We see a huge problem with that. But I don't want their definition of natural rights to mess up mine. So by mutual contract, I would say I'm going to associate with these people that protect these rights and not these people that protect these. So if this pedophile who is part of our community has taken somebody against their will, and we as a community say that's against their liberty, we are going to, I guess, break your rights. Now, I don't know if you would define that as breaking somebody's rights, because for me, that's a violation of their contract. So they volunteered themselves to do it. They agreed to be part of the community. If there were benefits of the community, they took part of it, whether it be defensive or police or whatever the community he already decided on. But if he decides to be a pedophile, he needs to be held accountable to his contract. So if there is a force that is to, I guess, have additional rights, I would say they're not necessarily additional because he's already broken his contract, but generally you can't invade somebody's property unless you violate this contract. So I would say this force is able to break his rights, but it's something that he already knew by contract would happen. Does that make sense?
Sort of. Now I lost connection for a bit, so I didn't quite catch all of that, I don't think. But okay. It's still like, if I have a contract with somebody and they, you know, rip me off, I have a right to do something about it. So it still didn't quite get to the actual. The thing is, that didn't really answer my question, because if somebody has a contract with me, then they don't get to rip me off either. So I'll basically re-ask it with the follow-up, which is, how would somebody get rights that I don't have and a contract doesn't do it? Because somebody can make a contract with me and then they're bound by it, or I can make a contract with somebody and I'm bound by it. So let me slightly rephrase it. Does morality apply differently to me than it does to people in your government?
So I believe in the spirit of your question, and I'm not trying to dodge it, I'm just trying to really lay down the specifics because I don't want someone to catch me on a technicality. I'm going to say no, flat out, that as long as we understand that contract is binding, that the results or the punishment of what happened for breaking that contract are part of something that you knew about and agreed to beforehand, those are not additional rights. That's correct.
Okay. Now, if either nobody decided to contract at all with your ideal government to begin with, or as time went by, they all said, we think your services sort of suck or something, and one at a time they stepped away from it, nothing actually, your ideal government can't do anything to even continue its own existence, right?
Yes, so this is an important part for minarchy as well, as this competition among governments, and that's why we reject federalism generally, because we just say that a single federal rule for everybody is wrong, because not one size fits everybody, and not everybody has this consensus. So our choices are either to force a consensus or for you to allow you to develop it on your own. You can develop it with a community of people, which most people would choose to do out of even fear or baser instincts. Like we say, oh, I'm scared that someone's going to take us over, and even some legitimate fears. I mean, like I said, look what happened to the 13 colonies when they were operating separately, and to say, hey, maybe we should get some kind of contracts going, even with colonies we disagree with, in the matter of defense, if we choose to do that. But instead of forcing that type of thing, you should be able to, it just needs to be voluntary. But yeah, you could, and this is the reason I say this is so important, is this is that capitalist competitive idea. And I don't mean to turn off the libsocks, because libertarian socialism works in this society as well. You can have your own thing if everybody chooses to voluntarily forego that property and wants to work in a horizontal measurement. But the competitiveness of it is what makes it so that the weaker governments dwindle off, the ones that choose, even if you voluntarily choose to give up too much of your rights, people say, I'm not going to choose that anymore. I'm not going to do that. Or if taxes get crazy or something, they say, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. You know, and again, voluntary taxation, but you see what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, here's a fairly huge, important question. Based on your own answers, your ideal government doesn't have a monopoly, can't tax, doesn't have a jurisdiction, doesn't have any rights I don't have, which means it doesn't have any authority. Why are you calling it government?
So, and this is one of those unfortunate distinctions, because I have run into several anarchists, and friends with a lot of them, especially after the last group, there was like, man, I really liked what you had to say, but I hate the fact that you want my enslavement. And I'm like, man, you just have this misunderstanding of what minarchy is, you know. As Max Stirner and William Godwin, they talk about anarchy, and it's this abolition of all rules, not just in government, but in society. Godwin was especially into abolishing the family. He believed that orchestras were wrong because they were coercive, because you could, you know, you could fire somebody, and that was wrong. He was against trade, that because these are enforced with rules. Anarchy means no rule, right? No ruler, without nobody ruling you. So the issue is that there is rules in this minarchist society. They're just rules that you've agreed upon. And so that's what makes it different than anarchy.
Except anarchy does not mean no rules. It means no ruler, a ruler being an authority who coercively controls people. That's what it means. But if you, here's the reason I act like, you know, you can sort of call it semantics, like, well, I want to call my sandwich a giraffe. Like, okay, that's fine. Why is it that you are against anarchy when what you just described is anarchy with the wrong label put on it? Like, you described a government that has none of the distinguishing factors that make it government. It has no jurisdiction, no special rights, no territory, no monopoly, no right to tax, no right to legislate, no right to do anything other than what normal people can contractually do on an individual basis. Why would you be against anarchy when you just described anarchy as your ideal?
So I don't want people to think I'm even necessarily against anarchy, because like you said, this is going to come down to a matter of semantics. This is going to come down to, after the debate, I had plenty of people, you know, our first debate, plenty of people telling me that I was trying to conscript their death and trying to enslave them. And me, by virtue of being a minarchist, I'm their sworn enemy. And so apparently some of the things that I said, just because I would allow people to voluntarily have rulers, you know, or rules, that all of a sudden that I am conscripting them, or if I'm enslaving them, or I'm against them. Well, so really the majority of why I don't call myself an anarchist is because anarchists say I'm not an anarchist. Because of these, this is the reason I brought up Stirner and Godwin, because I reject those flat out. I say if that's what anarchy is, I reject that. Now, if you reject that, then we've got something to talk about. I mean, do you believe that families should be able to have a structure that people can voluntarily be in an orchestra together?
Yeah, obviously. Those guys are just idiots. And for them to pretend they have the right to decide that for the rest of society necessarily requires a ruling class, because most of society isn't going to go along with that stupid view. But I'm not them and you're not them, so they're not really related to this discussion. The thing is, I can tell you why anarchists are saying you want their enslavement, because you call what you advocate government, and government necessarily means coercive control. You're trying to stick the label on something that isn't that. You're trying to stick the label on anarchism, because if you're just talking about voluntary contracts that nobody's forced into, nobody has to do, you can do it if you want to, that is anarchism. And the reason some anarchists are saying you want their enslavement is because if you advocated anything that actually fits the definition of government, you would want their enslavement, because government means the exercise of authority, which is the right to rule, not the right to make contracts with other people, because everybody has that. So again, I'm going to ask you, how do you distinguish this thing that you call government from me hiring somebody to, like, either protect my property or mow my lawn? Like, if there is, let me do a preliminary question. Do you agree that if there is no difference between A and B, then it's sort of silly to insist that A deserves one label and B deserves another label and they shouldn't be mixed?
I think you can have two words for the same thing. I mean, we have a lot of those synonyms in the English language, but yeah. Yes, if they're essentially the same, I agree that there's no reason to call them anything different.
Okay, so for your government to be government and to be different than not a government, there has to be some quality it has that distinguishes it from not a government. What I advocate is people be free, they can make contracts, they can make deals, they can choose not to. Basically what you described, can you tell me what's the secret ingredient that makes what you want government when what I want is anarchism and a lack of a ruling class?
Sure. So there's two answers to this. One is just the dictionary definition. Governing is conducting the policy, actions, and affairs. Now, if I was a true anarchist, I would say, if I'm just against all government, I would say I'm against whatever the definition of government is, which is conducting policy, action, and affairs. I'm not against that because I think people can voluntarily choose to conduct their policies, actions, and affairs, right? That's one is the definition. That's why I'm not against government, simply because it doesn't say coercive power. It may tend to be. That happens sometimes. That's why I am a minarchist, because I absolutely loathe what the state does, and I hate that so much of it is involuntary, non-mutual. I don't have to tell you about the evils of government. You already know already. But, you know, I loathe all of that. But it's not just because it's a government. It's because it's a wicked government. It's because it's an involuntary government. I don't see voluntary government as anything wrong.
Voluntary government is a contradiction. The thing is, you jumped right over the definition of government and went to governing in a very vague sort of wishy-washy thing that you could literally apply to anything. Like a person making a garden is governing the garden. Nobody calls a gardener a government of the garden. Government in the political sense is always an authoritarian ruling class. That's what it means, the exercise of authority. And authority isn't just about arrangement and cooperation. But again, whatever words you want to use to describe it, because you are actively arguing in favor of minarchism, which includes a government, and against anarchism, there must be some quality to what you advocate that doesn't fit inside the definition of anarchism. So far, everything you described is 100% compatible with anarchism and doesn't at all match the definition of government, which is an authoritarian ruling class.
So I've tried to tell people this before, that I've talked with anarchists who say, dude, you should just say you're an anarchist. But then I talk about this volunteer form of government and they say, that's evil, that's enslavement, and you're wrong, and you deserve to be hung. You know, even when I give it the label of anarchy, just because I talk about it, even if it's in a voluntary context. So that's a social stigma, right? The thing is, and I can get over that all day. If you say I'm an anarchist, believe me, if I have your name behind it, I'll be on cloud nine, right? That'll be easy. So government, going back to it, is the governing body of a nation, state, or community. Again, not necessarily by authority, not necessarily by force. That's just what the definition is. Now, we can go off of other definitions of government, you know, but I am just purely going by dictionary definition. So I'm saying if I advocate that government by the dictionary definition, even if it could be voluntary, that suddenly I advocate some form of government. And so therefore, I probably, and I mean, can I be a minarchist and anarchist at the same time? Because if I believe in a little bit of voluntary government, then technically that makes me a minarchist. But if it's against your definition of government, then I guess that would make me an anarchist.
Well,
and I'll explain in a second why the semantics are important, but I need to give you a chance to answer that, I guess.
Okay. There's another big problem here. Aside from the why are you arguing against anarchism and then describing anarchism, just is a different word from government. It means minimal amount of rulers, not organization, not managing, not contractual thing. The arc in minarchist is authoritarian domination. That's what the word frickin' means. And anarchy means none of the authoritarian domination. So whatever you wanted to define government or governing to mean, or with it, whatever definition you want to say we should use or shouldn't use, minarchy, arc, is about ruling. That's what it's meant for thousands of years. To call yourself a minarchist means I just want a minimal amount of authoritarian ruling. And what's weird is what you just described is anarchy. It is no ruling. It is contractual arrangements and or lack thereof if people don't want to do that. What's fascinating to me, let me quick throw this in. What's fascinating to me is that I'm arguing against me. I wrote a thing in 1994 that described exactly what you described, and it was called The God Called Government, and it bashed almost everything about government, but insisted on a little purely defensive, voluntary, blah, 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 blah. And I could feel, like retroactively, I could feel my desperation to hang on to the title government and the idea of government. And looking back, I had already gone past that. I was already an anarchist, but I wanted to hang on to the government. So let me put it this way. Why do you want it to be called government when people voluntarily contract with each other and make agreements?
I guess it's a lack of want, and more so just that I always felt like I was being true to the definition. Here's the other thing, and I guess this will get back onto it mattering, right, as far as a matter of semantics. Is that I think that people can be able to volunteer to give someone else authority. Now, if they don't choose to do that themselves, I don't think you and I would choose to do it. I think very few would choose to do it. I think after we put these competitive governments in practice, the other government would lose all of its people because it's so few on human rights. But you can volunteer to say, hey, we all agree to give up these rights and give it to this guy. They could do that in a minarchist society. Now, could they do that in an anarchist society? I'm just genuinely, I don't know. But I think that they would be able to in a minarchist society, so long as they knew what they were doing is voluntary. I think it'd be a bad idea, but they were still able to do it.
Well, any contract you can do, like, by definition, gives away some of your rights. Like, I will give you $1,000 if you give me that keyboard. I don't get to keep my $1,000 if you give me the keyboard. So, of course, you can give away your rights by contract. The thing is, if you're like, that's not what arcing, that's not ruling, because if I make a contract with somebody and I say, I'll give you $1,000 if you give me that keyboard, neither of us became the ruler. We both voluntarily gave up some of our rights. Like, I'm giving up the money, they're giving up the keyboard. It's a voluntary arrangement. Which one of us would you call government in that arrangement? Because you seem to insist that anything that even vaguely fits that description is government. So which is it? Am I government because I'm buying his keyboard, or is he government because he's selling it to me?
I think in that situation, there's no actual ruler. What I'm suggesting, though, is another situation where you say, I'm going to vote for this guy, and this guy is going to rule over me and this group of people who also agree to have that guy rule over us. I think that makes that guy a ruler, you know, because he decides what the rules are and gets to enforce them.
Well, if somebody, I mean, you can do that in a, like a club or something. Like, here's the bar.
Yeah.
You can come in, you can be members of our club, but you don't, like, we all leave after 3 a.m. and no breaking the furniture. And, like, you can have rules that you volunteered into. Is a bar a government? Like, again, why, how many things wouldn't you apply that label to in the literally thousands of different ways that people can organize and make contracts and make clubs and organizations, including with hierarchy and somebody like a football team? Okay, you're the captain, you call the plays. Do you call that government? Would you call yourself a minarchist because you believe in quarterbacks calling the plays?
So yeah, I mean, then this is kind of exactly what we're touching on. It's like that term, like self-ownership, and people are saying, well, do you believe in self-ownership? I'm like, well, yeah, I do. Well, do you believe in ownership of somebody else by you? Well, I don't want that to happen, but do I believe it could happen? Yes, I believe I could submit to it. But the, you know, the problem with then the same problem comes up with governments. Do I believe in self-governance? Self-government? Yes, I do. Do I believe that, yes, these little bars, even with like one bar owner and three people can make a bunch of rights and enforce it by definition, because he's the governing body and the ruler, and anybody who goes to his bar submits to his rules. He seems like the government in that situation. Now, I'm not attached enough to the word to love it, but it's simply that I don't want to be caught in a catch 22 where somebody says, don't you know, technically you're advocating for government right now. And then I've misrepresented anarchy because I'm technically, you know what I'm saying? I'm technically advocating for a government, even if it is on a voluntary level.
Yeah, but you're not, if you're talking about football teams and bars or people contracting for protection agencies or anything else. And that's why it's weird to me that if, like, inside the system you described, I and a bunch of people can say, we're going to hire this guy to patrol our neighborhood at night, and we pay him, and it's all voluntary. And we agree that, you know, we agree to pay him this much, and we agree to let him, like, walk down our street in the middle of the night, and we won't interfere with him. Like, we give up a few little rights. Like, I wouldn't call that government because it isn't. Would you, like, insist that that is government if we voluntarily hired something? If I hired someone to do stuff like that?
So I'd be wrong to call myself a unifier, which is what I've always tried to be, if I were to say, like, hard yes or hard no on that. I'm not trying to force my words down somebody else's throat. I don't care if I'm, and I even told people going into this, I guess, debate or interrogation, you might find out I'm an anarchist. I told somebody minutes before this, I'm like, my guess is he's going to say that I'm an anarchist and that I'm just using the wrong term. And the thing is like, I have known that for a while because I've tried to explain that to people. But then when I talk about these voluntary systems, in fact, the exact situation you just described with the night watchman, they describe that as government. And so therefore I say, well, I guess technically it's governing. So I guess technically I'm not an anarchist. So I guess you're technically right. And so usually it's the anarchists that want me to not misrepresent them that way. And so they want me to not label myself as an anarchist because I am okay with that situation you just suggested.
Well, it may be that the main problem is you talk to too many commie boneheads who think that voluntary hierarchy is somehow magically, automatically oppressive, when what's oppressive is telling people that they're not allowed to voluntarily do that. What you described is absolutely anarchism and absolutely doesn't fit the political definition of government, and definitely doesn't fit the definition of ARC, like a ruling class. Like, it's not a rule by a little bit of a ruling class if it's all consensual and it's all by contract and it's all voluntary and nobody's forced into it. That really is anarchism. So then it's just a matter of why call that because minarchism means the minimal amount required of ARC, as in ruling authoritarian domination, when it isn't that. And it may actually be, I just think you talk to too many commies who try to paint anything that even looks vaguely hierarchical or like it like puts limits on what people can do because they agreed that way. They're trying to label that all government. And I would say, their definition of government is bogus, and your definition of government is bogus, and what you're actually advocating is called anarchism, or more specifically, voluntarism, which, like, the whole point is everything's voluntary, nobody's coerced into any of these agreements or anything of this sort.